Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good evening. Welcome to our class today. I'm very excited, the intermediate module. Thank you for being here, and I hope you're ready. I can feel you, and I know there's so much excitement, and we have a lot to do as usual. And let's move to this next 2 hours, this journey, and have a pencil, a pen, a paper ready, so that you can actually work along with what we're doing today, doing the practical part. The rest, you know, you will get your notes, and they will show up, you know, within a couple hours after the class. Before I start, I wonder, Sabina is telling me, and welcome, Sabina, that on Facebook, Sabina is Sarah Doe. So everybody knows Sarah Doe on Facebook. That is Sabina, and that's how she is known on Facebook as Sarah. So, okay, I'm just going to make sure everybody is coming on here. And today the topic is a lot about emotions, but we will also be working with the auric field. As you know, you probably looked at the content, and I'm going to do lots of practical stuff, a lot of things to learn. So I will be starting now with a prayer. And I'm going to even attempt to say it in Aramaic, which I'm still trying to learn, to pronounce properly. So we're going to start now. And to set ourselves into the proper alignment. And today I will be introducing a prayer that many of you probably already know. All right, let's start. O birther, father, mother of the cosmos, focus your light within us, make it useful. Create your reign of unity now through our fiery hearts and willing hands. Help us love beyond our ideals and sprout acts of compassion for all creatures. Animate the earth within us. We then feel the wisdom underneath supporting all. Untangle the knots within so that we can mend our hearts' simple ties to each other. Don't let surface things delude us, but free us from what holds us back from our true purpose. Out of you, the astonishing fire, returning light and sound to the cosmos. Amen. Abund bashmaya nitkadishmach tete malkutach nechves biana reikan abashmaya apakakah Hablan lachma disunkan an yaumana, washpuklan chauvein vachtahin, egana dachanan shwakan an lachay, obein, vela tachlan lilnesuna, ila patsan min bisha, metoldi lachay malkuta, vahela vatishpukta lach alman almin, amen. So allow yourself to sit relatively straight for a moment and just feel your heart. Allow your heart to just open just to love, to the divine. Very simple. And just allow yourself to let your attention just drop down into the earth, into Mother Earth, into the sacred expression of the Divine Mother, the Earthly Mother. And then allow yourself to drop even further through Mother Earth into the infinite womb of creation. Let's take a deep breath and for a moment, just let go. Allow yourself to rest in the deep, very anchored, knowing that you are always one with creation, with source. Just let all stress just sort of flow off you. Just relax your shoulders. Ah, And then come back to your heart and begin to just move up, up into the infinite sky, into the light above. Right into the central point of light. Feel yourself expanded between the feminine and the masculine, knowing to be an expression, a divine child. Containing the entire cosmos within you. With that, all story, all perfection, eternity, yet also time and space, and the myriad possibilities of creation and possibilities of thought, possibilities, futures, pasts, presents, all the goodness and all the apparent badness, everything plays on the screen of the mind. While you're resting in the beyond. Take a deep breath. Good. So, let's start. I'm going to open my eyes here, look at my panel, and welcome everybody else who came on this morning. Now, if you are listening to in replay, I know a couple of people or a handful of people can't be here this morning. You're listening in real time, in your time being the real time then to this class today. So, now, let's talk about the healer's skills. Let's start with that today. And why does healing not occur? Well, when we do healing, we want to use the left brain and the right brain approach. This is what I usually do. And the left brain uses the scientific, detailed, logical approach. There's anatomy involved, physiology is thought-based. We've done some of that. To remind you, we did some quantum healing. We know we use the mind for healing as well. We're going to learn also, I think also an intermediate module and onwards, we're going to learn to go into details. People that do sessions with me know that I go also through particular anatomical processes or physiological processes, and we can sort of fine-tune and check where problems is and correct those. So that is basically the scientific approach, the left brain approach, but we also use the right brain approach. And especially when we go into the emotions, the right brain is really powerful. In the next month, we're going to learn to work a very powerful process, with pictures, story-based approaches, archetypes, and everything based on the feelings, because the feelings are going to be your guidelines, basically, to find where the problem is. They kind of tell the story. So we become basically, as a healer, you want to just become conscious that what are you doing? You're using, left brain approaches, right brain approaches, and you also have to find out a little bit what does the situation for yourself or for your client necessitates. Is this something you want to approach with the right brain, or is it better with the left brain? And so you will become quite intuitive to find out where is the weak link here. Now, let me speak about why does healing not occur. So there are some things that are important that is your rapport. You have to have a rapport with the person, and you have to create that rapport. If you don't, there will be no healing. And how do you do that? Well, the most important thing is you have to be present. You have to listen carefully. You have to observe the person. You have to truly care what they're saying, and you're attentive with them. And you have to ask the right questions. You don't want to bring anything of yourself in there that throws them off, off track, because they're coming to you. Maybe it's your first session or second session, and you just don't want to, just kind of distract them. They're coming there and they're just already a bit maybe nervous, or they have a lot of hope, or they have a lot of mistrust. So in many ways. Now, if you are working on yourself, you also have to have rapport with yourself, right? You have to trust yourself on some level. If you kind of doubt yourself, then you have to basically really pay attention, listen to yourself, listen to your own feelings, listen to your own thoughts. You might journal, you might have somebody to talk to, and really pay attention. What are you saying? What are you feeling? How are you acting through the day? What are you thinking about? And so you become your own healer. You pay attention. You're present with yourself. That basically creates this link within you where you, as the healer, when I also, if you are your own client as well, you are the healee, you are creating that connection. Now, the next word everybody knows is entanglement. And entanglement needs to take place, otherwise there's no healing happening, right? Entanglement starts actually with you want to trigger, or let me use a better word, maybe you want to prompt the client to put energy into the process of entangling with you. Because you're ready as a healer, you want to entangle, but is the client going to entangle? So there are many things that we're doing, which is the payment process. That payment process, the person is actually actively putting energy out. The scheduling process. I have an automated scheduler, so there are clients that don't really want that. They want to be served. And then there are clients that accept the proactive approach that they actually have to put a bit of energy in because they really want to get well. They have to go on the website. They have to do it. And they are like, wow, they get successful. They scheduled. They figured it out. They are now already quite entangled with you. This is why mostly when people already pay the session, have booked themselves, I can already sense them because they're beginning to entangle. And that's a very powerful process because the more people are entangled, the stronger, the better the healing will be. You have a bigger highway to transmit information as energy or as words and thoughts. Now, the other thing that's important is that why is healing not happening? I call it the dazzle factor. A person that's sick is in doubt and has low energy and is more on the lower end of hope and positivity. You're more positive and more hopeful when you're feeling well. If somebody is not well, there is an element of hopelessness and seeing the world in a negative way. So your job as a healer is to dazzle the person. That's my word. Then maybe it's a better person. You actually have to sell the session again. You have to somehow, bring hope to the person and so that you start on the right foot, so that the person is actually getting the sense, oh yeah, the healer is confident that they know, this person knows what she's doing. She's already had people like this. People always ask me sometimes, have you already worked with this and this? Have you worked with this and this? And because they want to know, did you do this before? Do you know what you're doing? So there's no hope. There's a bit of like, will it actually work, right? So what I sometimes do is when I notice people are a little lost, I talk about testimonials. I give some samples. I show my knowledge of the understanding of the disease. I've mentioned before, when I have male clients, I often need to use a lot of left brain. I need to use science and logic, and I come up with certain examples or logical conclusions that they can follow into. Women don't need that too, but often they also need the emotional support, through your voice and through your face if you are doing things either via the screen or you're in person with a person. You want to let the woman know that she's safe and that you actually get her, that you can witness her feelings, which is very important for women. And then also, why is healing not occurring? It's because there's karmic reasons. It's just not meant to happen right now. And so don't beat yourself up when there is no healing happening. Even if you do your own healing, sometimes there is a karmic reason. And karmic reasons are, when does karma get put to rest? There has to be an integration of energy into your core. And it has to do with raising awareness and understanding. And if it's not understood, if it's not completed, then the disease still serves a purpose, and that's just the way it is. There's another karmic reason that the person that's coming to you is way more evolved than you, and the person, you cannot match their vibration. So there is an incoherent vibrational reality there. So one of the things I always had in my office, I had a little altar, and I had a little piece of paper that I wrote and put on that altar, which made it very clear, and it says, only the people, those souls that I can actually really serve and truly serve and that are matching my current state of consciousness will walk through this door and ask for healing. So that I didn't go and have people come in that weren't the right people for me. So what are the weak links or pathways in your client? So now, as a healer, you want to kind of, become conscious of these little things. And I want you to just kind of listen right now. Don't stress yourself out like you have to remember everything. That's not the point. This is just becoming aware. You're going to go a little deeper. And your left brain is getting a little bit more activated in terms of information right now. And it's all just going to go in. Don't worry about it. So what are the weak links or pathways in your client when the client comes to you, or even for yourself? Can you figure this out for yourself? So does the person need rest and vitality? Do need to de-stress? Some people are just sick because they're really burned out, right? And you have to see that. That's the most important thing. Does the client need auric repair or cleanse? Do this person need to appear kind of damaged, traumatized in some way? You kind of think about there's some kind of leakage of energy, you know? Does the client need power or self-esteem? Are they just have such a low opinion of themselves that they're so just not trusting themselves at all and just not meeting life in that way? Does your client need love? Does your client need light, awareness? Does your client need a vision for the future? Do they see something in front of them? If you don't have a vision for the future or a sense of future, that is very, very sick-making. So these are, some examples of what could be the weakest link in your client. What's the weakest link for yourself? So let's do right away a personal check-in, excuse me, where you are going to check for yourself right now. If you look at yourself and you think you could improve, where is your weakest link right now? What needs to be strengthened? I'm going to repeat it. Do you need rest? Do you need energy? Is there something in your aura that feels that needs to be cleansed out? Do you need more self-esteem? Do you need to be loved? Do you need more awareness? Do you need a vision for the future? Let's kind of play around and see. Okay, just write that down for now. And if you don't know, put a question mark there. Or put two things there. You feel like, well, I need a couple of things. Yeah, perfect. Probably not often, more than one, right? So now, the other thing as we move on is like, does your client have some obvious internal resistances? Because this is all the setup. We're really looking at the setup right here, because if you don't have the right setup and you kind of are mentally alert to these things, and you're trying to do a beautiful healing, but it's just not really being utilized. Maybe not at all, or maybe just partially only. You did this great healing, but, only 30% goes in, right? So does your client have some obvious internal resistances? So first of all, and I ran into this usually with people at car accidents, and they got here in Canada, it's called ICBC, where they get money from the car insurance. So, yeah, they even at some point after the third session, I kind of asked, it's like, okay, but because we got started to get better, 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 and then suddenly we plateaued, and always like, then suddenly, it's getting worse. And I'm like, that didn't make any sense to me. I know what we had did, and I saw the corrections, and then I just asked. I said, well, because then you don't get money anymore. I said, yeah, I need to stay sick. I still get the money for the next 3 months. Oh, well, there we go. The other thing is that, person might not get has a resistance because there might be a divorce on the horizon and the person needs to move out and separate, and there's a huge job and don't want to do this, so it's better to stay sick. It's a little bit more convenient. Maybe the person has to find a new job and they don't know how to take the next step, and there's a lot of fear usually. So that these are resistances that that show up often, I find. The other resistance also because you're not speaking the client's language. You appear flaky as a healer, you dress inappropriately, or you've got something in your surroundings that trigger people. I was very aware that I had an altar with, Vedic statues, everything. I mean, very multicultural, as you know I am. And that could sometimes trigger people, but I was okay with that because I had already such a strong practice that people came in. I actually managed to make sense to most people, and I don't remember anybody in particular that was triggered by that. Most people found it actually very kind of holy or sacred, and it was okay. But, you know, these things can trigger you. You can have somebody who is a strong Christian. You have a medicine Buddha. Like, I have a big medicine Buddha, Tanka, and it could totally, bother them, so you can have things a bit more, what's the word, neutral. Of course. And then what's the other internal resistance? I found was the main resistance for most people. The client didn't book the session herself or himself. It was a gift certificate, or was booked by the wife, because mostly women care about having the family in a better place. So I would say, I'm going to be honest, 60% of gift certificates didn't show up, because I stopped giving gift certificates because I just felt bad for the wonderful people that were thinking it was a good Christmas gift for their friend or brother-in-law or whatever, and they didn't care because they don't really believe in healing. So that definitely will also not come to fruition. So we have a setup right now. Just to repeat, basically you are coming aware what's kind of weak in the client. Do they have resistances? Are you entangled? Did the client entangle with you? And of course, in essence, it all has to do with yourself, because how your energy is how people show up, and there's always a learning process that goes on. And that's quite beautiful. So now let's move to the emotional healing part, which is when I do some work with that. And so what is really involved in emotional healing? Well, you have to be able to meet, witness, and endure emotions. The most important thing is you have to be able to endure emotions. You have to be able to be with people that are very dark sometimes, and you have to be in a place where you have cleared a lot of your own story. Your own childhood has to be healed quite considerably so that you don't get triggered. You can be triggered very gently by maybe kind of disliking or thinking the person, like, why is the person making such a fuss? It's just so, it's not really a problem. Or there could be slight judgments, yeah? So you have to remain in presence, totally open to what the person is going through, without any comment, personal comment on it. And you have to be present with them while you are not, becoming the emotion, yeah? You don't want to become the whole emotion. At the same time, you can feel it. And that's the trick about being empathic and moving empathy towards compassion. You have to be compassionate, which is you're really present and you're feeling the person, but you are in your own space. And again, you can cross your feet when you're talking to the person, or you can slightly have also your hands on you, kind of touching on your lap in some way where you basically are physically not absorbing everything. If you're specific, when you're in close proximity, I had a special chair. I was really comfortable with my yellow chair, or people called it my golden chair. I said it was yellow color. It was an old chair from the 50s, but it was so comfortable. And I basically would position it. I would kind of move it a bit so I would just be in that right place, not too close, not too far, so that I would be, present with the person, but I wasn't really right in it, in the maelstrom of that vortex of whatever the person would be going through. Now, what is needed for healing? What are the components? So you become aware of the emotion. You name it. As you name the emotion, you are gaining distance from it. When thoughts arise, you are what kind of thoughts are arising this emotion? You continue to feel the emotion. And then, is there a situation that you remember in connection with this emotion? Is there somewhere in your body where the emotion is very strong? Does the emotion have a shape or a color? Do you get an image from it? And can you let this also heal and let light come into it? So I'm going to go over this again. What components are needed to have emotional healing take place? So let's do this together practically in a moment. I'll just repeat this again. You have to become aware of your emotion, right? But do this right now. What, do you have an emotion? It could be just like being happy to be here. It could be nervous. Could be, what's the emotion? Don't think about the body. Like, relax to be relaxed is a body thing. It has to be an emotion. What's the quality of the emotion? Come to your heart, maybe just right in front of your heart, the energy there. What's the emotion there? I'm just kind of feel the emotion. Give it a name, right? When you name it, you have begin to have distance from it. Good. So now, if there are sometimes, you know, let's say your client is in a very deep emotion. Let's say they're in grief, and they're feeling this grief. Thoughts will come up, like I can't do this, or this is never working, or maybe somebody died, and they're like, I can't, you know, I'm missing this person or whatever. So there's thoughts connected to this emotion. So the person needs to now continue to feel the emotion while the thoughts are there. And, of course, and then the emotion, the energy is usually starting to get very strong, because especially when the emotion is beginning to flow and coming to its release, releases back into the stream of energy itself, back into the core, it's often overwhelming because emotions, like I said, is energy in motion and people don't know where up and down is. And so you can guide a person then in the right moments, you know, to you ask question. Do you have a let's say I often ask, do you remember when you experienced this for the first time? Is this new for you? I said, no, I had this when I was 7, and I was always, you know, whatever the emotion was. And then you give them some room, and you feel that the person just, and then there's more images and pictures coming up, and then where is this emotion very strong in the body? And then you bring them also, it's a form of grounding, right? They feel it right here in their bodies, because inside their psyche, there's somewhere in another timeline. But then you got it in the body that gives them often a physical problem, let's say in the digestion. And as you know, I usually ask people to put hands on that place, grounds it even more, makes it more, comes into the here and now. So where is this the strongest? Could be the stomach, it could be somewhere else, it could be in the throat, you know? But give you also an indication, or me, you know, when I hear where they're feeling this emotion, what goes on. It's a lot of information for me when they tell me it's in this part of the body. So, and then if the emotion is still very, very solid and it's just not flowing and disintegrating, we then can work with the shape, the color, or the images that are contained in that emotional energy. It's like a whole world, you know. Think of a whole city of story that's in there. And making the person conscious, expanding awareness. And then, of course, we want to invite God's light into the suffering and allowing it to disintegrate and dissolve. Some people can't do that, and then we have to kind of help along. So some of you know these details and you go through this, but we want to make it even more conscious. So let's do this very quickly one more time, doing emotional healing on yourself right now. So find your emotion or fear, whatever you're currently stuck on. Could be confusion, worry, could be financial fears, whatever that is. You might even write it down if you have your pencils there. Just become aware of the emotion. Just become aware of the emotion. Now explore the emotion. Give it a name. Give it a name, whatever it is, sadness. Sometimes it's tricky to find words. Just name it. This is the emotion that is passing through me right now. And explore the emotion right now. You can explore it in terms of a color, some thoughts, some emotions, whatever comes along with this. Write that down. Good, good, good. God, I can feeling the releases already here. That's wonderful. This is already releasing and moving. And then let's just very simply invite God or light or the universal light into this suffering, into the emotion itself, and into you who is suffering from the emotion. See, there's two different things. You are the person suffering from it, and then there's the emotion itself. So invite the light into those things right now. You might even put your palms up. It's always a form of receptivity. Good, wonderful, wonderful. So just give thanks. And if you were having your palms up and you felt light was coming in, just take your palm and just, I don't know, smooth it wherever you might feel the emotion in your body, in your heart, in your tummy, wherever it is, wherever it was kind of feeling not that good, just kind of smooth the light in there a little bit, the energy good. Good. Okay, so now one of the most powerful emotion or source of emotion is trauma. And trauma always includes strong emotions, strong buried emotions. This is where we come to later, where we have to dig deep, right? A trauma, we know, comes up all the time. Trauma underlies most problems. And, you know, we run into this all the time. We had personally trauma. And I'm going to just kind of, I made a list of things that can cause trauma. Excuse me. So one is physical impact via an accident. So that causes trauma. Being beaten, physically beaten. By a parent or somebody that causes trauma. There could be emotional trauma. It could be such an emotional impact that it's traumatic. It can be food like MSG, certain kinds of things that we eat that actually cause trauma in the body. There could be drugs like vaccines or chemotherapy that cause trauma. The death of loved ones. Of course, curses or dark magic can cause trauma. Electronic magnetic fields like Wi-Fi towers can cause trauma. Attacks from non-material entities can cause trauma. And we already talked about pharmaceuticals. Radiation can cause trauma. People, medical or nuclear or HARP, as you know, causes trauma. Of course, alcohol and drugs, drug use can cause trauma. And there might be some others they couldn't think of. So these are, so, I mean, this is something that, well, I mean, most people somehow get in some way exposed to that can cause trauma. Now, and of course, did I say sexual abuse? Yeah, I didn't mention that, but of course that causes trauma. So where do we really find this trauma? So, of course, we can just notice it through a conversation that the person is emotionally really tied up. We know that we find out there's some trauma. Now, let's move to how we can work as a healer besides meeting the person emotionally and listening. And we can work more detailed with the human energy field. The human energy field is composed of it's your aura. It is the morphic field that you're in. the geological field that you're like from the earth. There's a universal light field. There's a thought field from people and whatever, from the TVs and radios. There's an electromagnetic field. So your human energy field that you walk in, around in is made out of all of this. And this field is most affected by trauma, like it's most intensely affected by trauma. And how do you know? Usually trauma is often like sudden, right? It's sort of so has a bit of a sudden effect. There's sort of an energy that drains off. It's just sort of a sudden energy loss. You suddenly, your mood changes. Suddenly people get a headache or a migraine. You might get nausea or acute pain. You have a sudden infection. You are suddenly accident prone. You're tripping. You can't think clearly. So something happened to the field and it's not coherent anymore. So there can be small holes. And usually, you know, little things happen all the time and the aura will recover because you feel kind of tired. You just sleep. You kind of rest a bit. You don't go out dancing, whatever, you know. It's like you're just taking it easy. Read a book, just lie on the couch and just don't have a big dinner party happening. So, and then like a few days later, you feel pretty good. And so that's very natural, and that's how you heal. Or you just go into the woods, you get a massage, you sleep more. And that's, we do that instinctively. Women take a bath, you know, put candlelight on and all that. But this is people like us. Now, there are majority of people that don't really do that. They will replace the energy by eating something, foods, or drinking, taking in intoxicants, or by vampiring energy from other people. That's way more common. And now, this is, of course, sometimes they know, sometimes they don't know. Most of the times they don't really know. So, and when an aura is, you know, compromised like this and there are some holes in it, then, of course, you're very sensitive to or vulnerable to entities because they can also steal your energy. Entities can influence your emotions and thoughts, and they can attach themselves. And when they attach themselves, then they cause disease in the long term. So now, well, how do we repair the holes in the aura? There's different ways of doing that. So let me just go over that, and before we actually begin to do some practical things, you can do the pranic work, and we basically have learned to do the pranayamas early on, right? We did some rhythmic breathing that will repair your aura. We can do the fire breath. And I'm not sure if I introduced this to you already. And we can do alternating nostril breathing. Fire breath, I don't want to do it right now, I'll just mention it right now because it creates a lot of heat and I don't want that right now. It's where it's a very strong in and out breath, and it sort of pumps the belly in a certain way, and you it's bhastrika. Maybe you know this from yoga, and you basically are burning off things that shouldn't be in the aura. So pranayamas, but simple rhythmic breathing will repair the aura. Of course, you can do your psychic visuals. You can do the golden white light coming down, showering you, filling all the holes, clearings. You can also use psychic visuals, like I've used vacuum cleaners that I sort of visualize and then clean out and vacuum the aura or certain things that I would see. I have often used a sewing needle to actually sew and close holes. And I did that back then more like where I would do this. And then pretty quickly in the late 90s, I would watch the higher beings do this, and I would just watch it, or you could say maybe it's a higher aspect of myself would basically repair tears and such things. You can use the violet fire for clearing out. Everybody knows that it's basically a violet light, and it's very fiery and it's very, very purifying. So we have the pranayama, we can do psychic visuals, you can do your quantum process through the mind, and then of course the pranic work, where you use energy directly, your hands, you make passes over the area of the aura, you know, 10, 20 centimeters away or remotely. And then you can also use, some of you work with crystals, where you take a long quartz crystal and you just move it from the top down. You make these like passes over the aura, and you know, and you have to flick it into a salt bowl. Or sometimes, you know, I would use visualize the fire and would just, you know, throw the junk, the gunk into the fire. Of course, you do hot salt baths, you know, several cups. When I was attacked at one point, I would do massive amount. I'm talking like 3 huge bags of Epsom salt. It was like the thicker than the Dead Sea, really, and soak in it. Of course, it really brings down your blood pressure, and you have to be very careful, but soak in it. And I did this for, 10 days or something, quite a long time. And so basically, but it's really, so, you know, this could be sometimes in extreme cases, very strong salt baths are quite powerful. But the person has to be strong enough to actually handle this kind of impact, lots of drinking you have to do afterwards. And I'm just mentioning this just for yourself, because this is, but just a simple salt bath, simple, can actually do a good job as well. And prana also is in the wind. When you walk by the sea, the ocean air, the trees, the snow. Snow is very purifying. The sun, all these things is very, very restorative to the aura. We have herbs that restore the aura. And then sometimes it's, you have to take certain necessary actions in life. If you with an abusive husband that beats you, well, that would be mean. Don't be around that. Or you are with an abusive boss, move. Whatever goes on, you have to move. Be in a, living next to a 5G tower. Well, sometimes it's better not to be there. Depends what goes on. So depends what's going on with you. So these are pranic solutions. And then of course we have the spiritual solutions, which is prayer. Prayer is very powerful to restore. Service, fasting, and doing offerings to other people. These are all the spiritual things. So when I had the flu early this year and it left me with a tremendous weakness, I basically began to do prayers consistently several times a day, and I got really strong and healthy. In fact, I feel way better even before than before the flu. So it's really interesting how simple things like prayer can be helpful. That's why I put so much emphasis on it. So now, take a sip of water. We still have, we're going to have a break very soon, so we can take a relax here. As we're going through all this information, I know this is beginning to become very detailed. So, but first I would like to, before we do some practical work, I want to talk about details of auric repair within the different layers. Now, I used the 7-layer model for most of my life. And maybe you know Barbara Brennan. She was in the 90s, very big. Most people know her. And I would use her model. This is what I learned on. And much of the book is not totally up to date anymore because things have changed. So a lot of things don't quite, I find, are useful anymore for today's world. But I'm very ingrained with the 7-layer model. You might have a different model because let me say this. Remember, everything is light. How we see things are agreements within the dream of reality. Okay, I'll repeat that. The way we see the world is an agreement between many people or a group of people. And that is how we basically ground ourselves into a temporary working model. So if this model doesn't work for you, then just discard it and continue to use your model. If you don't have one, this is quite useful. It's based on direct experience because I worked with it, and we're going to go through it practically. And if you feel like, wow, this is really works for me, I can experience it, because you have to have direct experiences of working with your layers and realizing, oh, wow, I can see a color there, or I see something over here and I can repair it. Then it becomes very real for you. And you can also do this on other people. So there are 3 main power centers in your body. They're called dantians in Chinese medicine and Taoism. And there's your physical Dantian in the lower belly, your emotional Dantian in the heart, and the mental Dantian in the middle of the head. These are three power centers where energy is located. And the seven-layer model interrelates with the chakra system. So we have the physical aspect of it, which is all fed to the physical Dantian, is your etheric subtle body. That's the first layer that you could see, is where your acupuncturist puts the needles in. That's the first layer. And you can take your hand if you have a hand free here. Just kind of go close to your body, and around about an inch or so, you would feel suddenly this energy, this layer. If you're really, really healthy, it's definitely an inch, maybe even an inch and a half. Now, if you are very weak, it can go down to barely anything or a centimeter, you know. So that's your etheric subtle body. Yeah. I hope you can feel something there. It's come pretty close, you know, inch and a half is not very much. And then you have the emotional body, and then you have the mental body. Yeah. Now we're going to move up to the emotional Dantian. That's your bridge, your astral body, the heart area. Your astral body is your bridge. And then you have your mental Dantian. The upper body is made out of literally three different bodies, which is the etheric subtle template, which is your physical blueprint that holds the highest ideals of your existence. And you have this all in your notes, so don't worry about it. You have the celestial body, your higher emotional body, and then you have a etheric body, your higher mental body, and it's sort of an eggshell, a protection, a boundary, and represents your highest ideals. That eggshell should be always closed. If it's open, you know somebody's going to get cancer or some deathly disease. But it can be repaired. So I've seen a few times where that eggshell was dented and created certain problems. I can't remember what it was years ago, but I undented it, and that created huge healing. So we have basically these seven layers, you know, the etheric subtle body, then the emotional, then the mental, the astral body, then the etheric subtle template, the celestial body, and the etheric body. And they all relate really to the seven chakras as we go up. Now, let's work now through these. Let's do one process here. We go through these layers. Before we do this, I want to let you know that some are structural bodies, and I will let you know, which is the first, the third, and the seventh layer or body. We look for patterns, rips, or holes in those layers. And the others, the two, four, and six, the even numbered, are emotional. We look for the quality of color and light and dark areas in that body. So I'll guide you through this right now. We're going to do a process that might take about 10, 12 minutes. And if you have the ability to take notes for your own layers as you're observing them, go ahead. If you feel like you're too meditative, just watch and observe. Whatever. You can always repeat this process, yeah? So let's start. We're going to start with the first one. We're going to tune into the first layer. And how this works is basically, let's take some water here. You're using your intent. Just, you know, asking, would like to now see my subtle body, the first layer, the etheric subtle body, and just experience it. And so what happens is that your vibration will shift to that energy field, because that's where your awareness is going to rest. And I just want you to, you know, if you don't see anything, you're just going to get a sense of like, that feels pretty good. Or you feel like strong, or you feel like it's weak. If it's weak, just, you know, let the energy flow through your hands. And flow into that subtle body. And this is a structural body. Remember, it's number one. It's an uneven number. So this is where all the meridians run. So we're just going to check and ask, are all the meridians clear? If not, we'd like them to be cleared now. Now the subtle body is kind of a electric blue energy color, and if you see it as a color, now you can work with a giving your mind a preconceived image, and if this image doesn't show up properly, it means it needs to be corrected. Okay, what do I mean with that? If you just imagine our electric blue. And just ask, is my aura, is the subtle body in a good condition? Is it nice electric blue? And you try to see that color, and if it doesn't come up, it's just hard to even visualize. You know it's not strong enough. So we're just going to ask it to be strengthened. But if you get suddenly, when I say the word electric blue, and you get sort of that color, you know it's pretty good because it's actually showing up. It's right there. It's like ding. It's right in your, comes up right away. Good, 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 good. I can feel some changes here. Good. Now we're going to go to the second layer. So we're going to drop the idea of the whole first layer. We're going to now intend to see the second layer. The second layer is an emotional, the lower emotional body, you could say. And that one should have beautiful colors. But if it's murky and there's a lot of emotion stuck, then you won't have a nice color there. So let's kind of connect with that energy signature of your emotional body. Just like you would connect to another person, you're connecting to just that body. Just notice how you feel. Do you feel constricted, heavy, or light? I'll just let some energy flow into the emotional body. Now, let's go a step further. Imagine that have your eyes closed in front of you. You see yourself, yeah, like a little little person. It's you, and you're just looking at your emotional body. I want you to look at the front and the back, and just whatever comes up, just make stuff up, because you will see what is really real. And just look if the color's nice. Are there some kind of dark patches? What does it kind of look like? We're in the lower emotional body. Very important to be very clear. Good. Some people are bringing light in already. Good, it's coming through the crown chakra. That's beautiful. You just let like light come into the crown chakra and just filling the emotional body, purifying and clearing it. Good. Yeah, take a deep breath. Yeah, take a moment to write down what you noticed. And as you were working on the emotional body, maybe you actually had some thoughts, like directly the feelings or thoughts that come along with the emotions, or just pure emotions. Good. So let's move to the third layer, which is the lower mind, related to the solar plexus. And so your intention is, I'd like to now connect with my third layer, the lower mind, mental body. And then you just wait and it starts to hook up the vibration. You're going to notice a very different vibration than before. Good. Now, this is a structural body. The mental body is very clean and clear. You have a very bright kind of yellow color. But it's also an area where you might have a lot of stuff. So as you're seeing the little person in front of you, your third body, your mental body, just see that mental body. Maybe like an X shape or whatever. And just kind of look into it and just look at the structure. Is there stuff there? Are there cords? Are there holes? Are there rips? What do you see? What comes up? Just continue to breathe normally. Don't hold your breath. While you're working and watching and letting the energy flow through you into that field of yours. If you're savvy, you can make a quantum shift. If there's something you're seeing, you're correcting it. You might let your energy flow into that particular area that doesn't look quite right, or maybe you have a feeling, you don't know what it is. You just kind of bring your attention into it and let the light go in there. Or you even make a prayer. Something like, my mental body is in perfect condition now. It's more like a command, but it's like a short prayer. There you go. Lots of things changed here. Beautiful. Good job. Good job. Very good. Very good. Very good. All right. Before we continue to the heart and to the other four layers, let's take a break and just take a relax, make some notes, maybe put down some questions if you want. We're going to go after the break. We will be doing still attunement to Mother Mary, and we're going to be working more with the aura. So this is the first time we're going through this. I'm going to take some callers. And I'm going to work and help you. And I want to kind of work with this a little bit more. So just take a break right now. There's a lot of talking we did. And I'll see you in 10 minutes with questions and comments. All right? Okay. See you in a moment. All right. Okay, welcome back. I hope everybody's here again. And I'm going to just take a couple of hands here that are up and just check what you want to ask. And the first one is Davey. I'm unmuting you, Davey. Hi.
Hi, Ratima.
Hi.
When we were doing the third layer, I just get really, I don't know, should I say my awareness was very expanded or I just get very sleepy. Like, I kind of space out and I didn't really do anything.
Okay. So well, that makes sense, right? It's your mind and you're used to meditating. And so, did you meditate this morning already?
I did.
Yeah, so that makes sense that your mind is very clear, very pure, and it still gives you that sort of space, not spaced out, but kind of like spaciousness. And if you want to be active, let's say you're spacious but and you want to be in a class, then there's a sense of being, I'm actually sleepy, but it's not because you're actually in a meditative state. Am I making sense?
But then I'm not doing the healing.
Well, there was probably nothing necessary because you did it through your meditation. When you meditate, you're always cleaning your mind. So it's already done.
and the third layer is the mind?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The lower mind, exactly. Okay. That's really affected when you meditate, yeah.
Okay.
How was your second layer, the emotions? Did you notice something there?
The second, yeah, I see color. I see like some light muddy color on the left
okay.
hand side.
Did you clear that?
Yeah.
Did that change?
I think so. I don't know. We're just playing, right?
We're just starting out. I'm just asking questions. Of course, it's like, what are we, you know, it's kind of challenging if you've never done that. So,
Before we start the process, I was like worrying that like, okay, I probably may not able to see the color or whatever, the shape. But I think beside the dirt layer, I see something on the first layer and the second layer.
Good. There you go. Exactly. Write that down in your notebook because it's really, it really hammers it in that there is something and you're going to start trusting yourself more. It's really a matter of trusting what comes up. All seeing and hearing and all these things have to do with trusting what comes up because it's real. It's very real. And maybe somebody else sees it differently, but it doesn't mean that it's just an interpretation that's different. But there's something there, and you might see it this way, another person that way, but still it doesn't matter because we speak sometimes different languages. I can say table in English, and then in German I can say something else, but it's still, we're talking about the same thing, you know?
Okay. Can I ask one more question?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So the healing, if we only have this moment and the trauma, whatever happened for the client is from the past, what am I actually healing?
The trauma is from the past, and because it shows up itself, it shows up in the aura in some way, you are then healing. If we're doing sort of a technical approach that we're doing right now, you are healing. You're healing the past, you could say, which is right now here in the moment. So you're healing whatever is in the aura. It changes, it gets corrected, and then you correct the past experience, and the memory or the identification of that experience begins to vanish.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Let me say this also, that for those that are in WLS, we know that time doesn't exist, right? We know this here too through quantum healing. So we're actually engaging in the dream of reality, which is the dream of the Divine Mother. Like, it's the manifestation of the Divine Mother. And we'll talk about it a little bit just doing the activation in a few moments. And so we play along with this dream, and we play within the dream, and knowing that in essence all is light anyway. Yeah, so I'm going to unmute Reem right now. Hi, Reem.
Hi, Ratima. Thank you. I was working with my right knee and for healing, and then I have all these questions because am I supposed to locate on which level is the healing needed, or just?
Oh, I see. I see. You're working with the particular issues. No, we just did a general moving through the layers, getting to know them, and just looking if we can find something. Yeah, yeah.
But if I were to do a healing, do you have to know where to look? Or is it the other way around?
Yeah, it's more the other way around. You're going through, let's say, okay, let me say more. What I would do is when did I use this kind of healing? I would do usually healing on a person. And then, well, you know, I would sit. I did this in my office. I had a chair at the front and the back of my table. And I would sit at the back and usually hold the person's feet. And I had a good vision from the feet. I could look up the person. And then I would hold their feet and basically tune into the different layers. And I would just kind of watch what goes on in the different layers. And I would find other kinds of things that I might have missed through, let's say, the direct approach of, let's say, somebody had a knee issue and I work on the knee, and then I would just check the overall field. Is there something else I missed? Now, you can put your hands on the knee itself or yourself or a client and then go through each layer and checking where is the problem? Why is this knee not working? It could be on several layers, but it could be one dominant layer where there's something not right.
Okay.
And if you had an injury, let's say you hit yourself somewhere, then you will very likely see some kind of something in these structural layers that is not quite right. There might be fine lines, or there could be something that shows you it's not there's something that needs to be dented out, you know?
Okay. Okay. Yeah? Thank you. Thank you. Okay. That helps. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Great. This is Anna now. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Aratima.
Hi.
One question is about the emotional body. Is it okay not to feel any emotions?
Yeah, it is. It is okay. It can be. Usually, it's just pleasant. If it's very clear, it's kind of pleasant, and there'll be some bright colors there. You know, just
yeah.
Okay. Did you have that? Yeah.
Well, it felt rather bright. I saw something darker, but again, I didn't feel anything. I just cleaned it. So
good. Do you have a lot of flowers around you? Because you post flowers a lot.
Well, I have some.
Good. The reason I'm asking is because flowers are really affecting the emotional body very strongly. Also the spiritual body. So if you have flowers around, you will find that the emotions get cleaned quite well through flowers. And they will, you know, kind of wilt quickly if the emotional body is not that good. But they will stay a long time if the spiritual body is very strong, and they'll last very long. Just sort of, you know, comment on that.
Okay. Thank you. And just one more thing. During clearing the lower mind, I saw a kind of device.
Uh-huh.
And like, you know, behind, well, around my neck, or let's say, I don't know how what's called, well, start of the head.
The chakra in the back. Yeah, I know.
So I just flowed light into it.
Uh-huh.
Well, I have a feeling it's gone, but maybe you can have a tip if one sees devices. Should I do something special, you know, for the devices?
No, you can't. A good question. Like, let's say I find a device, I usually get a bit, you know, perked up, right? Because it might be a little bit of a battle to get that out because something was put in by yourself or others. So you try, you know, you can flow light. If it doesn't move, then I usually shift to other methods. I usually kind of take more and more heavy artillery towards this issue. Exactly. Yeah. But in essence, you can just flow light if it dissolves, or you can use a quantum process or a prayer, or just visualize it gone, you know, or ask an angel. There's also angelic healing we talked about, I think, to ask an angel to lift it out. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good. And there's, I think, Vancouver. It must be Kim. Hi, Kim.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Oh, no, it's Megan.
Who's that?
It's Megan.
Oh, Megan. Hey, Megan.
Hi. Hi. I'm just a little, I'm confused about when you started talking about the three power centers. I'm seeing it like, I'm thinking like I'm getting confused between chakras, like the vertical kind of centers versus like the
yeah.
three power centers. Are they like kind of rings around us or that I'm just not visually
seeing. Okay. Think of it not like like the size of your fist, like a light, like a, or maybe like a golf ball, more like a golf ball. It's a light in the sort of where your uterus is, one in the heart and one in the head. And these particular power centers, they relate to the lower one relates to the lower three chakras, upper to the upper three chakras, and the heart is to the heart, the astral body. So you can think of it that way. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Yeah, because I'm thinking like of rings outside of us, and that's it.
There are all kinds of things. Yeah, that you know, what kind of ring do you see? What do you can you describe it?
I'm just thinking of layer. Like when I think of an aura, I just think of layers outside of our body.
That's right, and that's the layers. Yeah, that's the exactly interpenetrating auric bodies or bodies that are not literally like layers of an onion, although we call that, but they interpenetrate. Yeah.
Okay.
You're welcome. Okay, Laura has a question. I get colors and feel more than I see. Is that okay? Yes, I always get a sense and then see an image of drilling a vortex down the head. Said prayers suddenly still releasing. Okay, great. Okay, let's do the last four layers and then we're going to move on. So now bring your intention just to basically we're going to go into the fourth layer, which is your astral body. It's the bridge. Between the lower layers and the upper. So this is a really powerful place. Of course, it's all interpenetrates, the upper and the lower layers. And it's the astral bridge. And we are, some people call it 4D, right? We call it also fourth dimensional reality. This is where a lot happens. If you connect with this field, you will very likely see people you relate to, objects, your pets, places, all that. This is a very, I call it the very human engagement layer. And you can also see cords there, you know. You can see things in your aura that shouldn't be there. Can be very murky or very bright. You want it bright. Colors are much stronger on this layer than on the second, the emotional. Good. People are already making some corrections here. Beautiful. Yeah. And this is the layer that responds very well to prayer. And how your heart positions itself to the different things that are in your aura. Or not, it should be beautiful, nice, clear colors, pleasantness. Okay, so if you need to note something down, do that. We're going to do a swift movement through the layers. I would sometimes take an hour with a client to go through. And I would just wait in one layer for a long time and run energy and then keep watching and observing what happens. And so you can take your time, make this a long process. You just lie down or you sit and you just intend to go to layer and layer and just really take your time. It's actually quite fun. So now let's move on to the fifth layer. If you want to make some notes here for the fourth layer, go ahead. Okay, so we're going to intend now into the fifth layer. That's the etheric template. That's your physical blueprint. And this one looks kind of strange because it's sort of like an old photo, like an, you know, when you have these old photos, it's the negative. Do you remember these negatives from which photos got printed? It's kind of the other way around. All organs and all things are, they're kind of like black holes, and the rest is sort of more like light. And I also see grid lines on that level. It's very architectural. I had a lady once, she had some kind of, was it Parkinson? There's something about in her arms, and I would see broken lines where she had the jittering arms. So I would kind of let these lines connect again. Now, this is a layer where you are can do quantum work. This is the best place to do quantum work, actually. Just a suggestion, because it's really the origins of thoughts. This is the birthing of thoughts, happens at the throat center. And be very, allow yourself to be very still. It's a very high vibration, and you're going to do very little. There's usually not that sense of flowing of energy, but more of like shifting of ideas that take place. Just see if you can pick up on something in your etheric template. And my suggestion is to just request that blueprint to be and to hold the highest ideals of existence, to make the necessary corrections on that level now. And if there's something with the knee, then may it be in the knee like that. Wherever it is, could be digestion. And you're going to feel in this kind of meditative state right now. We're really in the higher mind. Good. So let's move higher now. And we're going to go into the celestial body, the higher emotional body. And we're going to shift up now vibration. And this is a very luminous, scintillating place. Sometimes they look almost kind of pastel to me, the colors. But they can be murky if your high emotional body is under stress. Good, and let's just make notes afterwards, because we're going to be very meditative right now. We're going to shift up now into the etheric body, the higher mental body, and that's your boundary, knowing the sense of I, right, that you are separate from the world. That protection, that boundary has to be very clear. So see yourself in front of yourself, and or even you feel it directly as you're sitting, maybe all around you, and just kind of scan and just notice if, is this boundary, is this eggshell of my field completely coherent? Is it in good, perfect condition? Or is there something not right? God, you can do this by seeing yourself again as a little person in front of you, or if you're, imagine you're inside an egg, you know, you look up, look to your right, left, kind of investigate down below you, behind you. Is it all looking good? Is it all solid? Are you safe? If not, bring your attention to that area And just it's almost like you put your hand there and it's just starting to heal and correct. And ask, you know, the highest light to come in to do the correction. There you go, good. Some people are making corrections here, good. I'd like to add some extra healing on this right now. Because we live in a world of trauma, people around us, nanoparticles flying all over the place, Wi-Fi and all that other stuff. So I'm just going to ask now, ask Source God to really, really solidify your boundary and have that catheric template, a catheric body, that layer to be really in optimum condition now. Go good. Very good, very good. Wonderful. Take a good breath. I'm going to move right into the activation with Mother Mary right now. So I'd like you to now imagine yourself in this luminous, scintillating light in this, like you're in the womb of this oval-shaped womb of the universe, of the cosmos. It's like the greater womb of the cosmos. In it and around that is a layer of courage. And then around it is into infinity all around you, a white, soft light. And I call upon the Divine Mother, Mary, the purity of creation itself. You can think of her as an archetype or as a real person, whatever works for you. As the birther and creatrix of all form, and of all form in the sense of all form, perfect form, Christed form, form that is pure and holds the divine signature in all things and all around us, as its embodiment in the Divine Mother Earth and everywhere and everything. And know yourself to be ever birthed by the Divine Mother and ever birthing from through the Divine Mother, which holds and is one with the Creator's original idea, the template of existence. So activating that everywhere within you, reminding and remembering, letting that divine white light, soft light, healing and nurturing light, just go wherever it needs to be now. Peace and blessings be upon the Divine Mother, forever and forever. Nothing can ever corrupt her, remaining eternally pure and perfect virgin, no beginning, no end. Just allow yourself to really float in this eternal womb. And everything is taken care of. The mother nurtures, withholds and gives in proper intelligence. We just surrender and receive. Just as we did in our mother's womb. Just allow all the layers of your aura to be restored now to your best ability in this present moment. Amen. Wonderful. So, I would like to do a little bit of practical work with you, with each other. And we spoke about clearing the aura in different ways, pranically, psychically, quantum, pranayama, spiritually. We actually learned a little bit about the details of the aura today, about the different aspects, the different layers. So I would like to open up a little bit, like very easy, don't stress yourself out, play with each other, where if you would like to give a healing or receive a healing, like we did in the clinic, to just bring your hand up, and we're going to kind of work with some of aspects of the aura. So I got Devi's hand up, but nobody else. So I'll wait, Danielle. Okay, I'll unmute you both. Mute Danielle and Devi. Okay, so make sure you. Okay, now lots of people popping up. Okay, great. We're going to have fun. All right. So, Devi, do you want to give healing or receive?
Receive.
Receive. Okay, Danielle, would you like to give?
Yes.
Okay. So, Devi, what do you think is let's just play here where you're like, okay, Devi's coming, she's having some problems or whatever, she wants to improve something. What could that be, Devi? Can you explain that briefly?
Like feeling not worthy.
Okay, you want to feel more worthy. Okay, good. All right, so now somebody's moving around a lot. If you can not do that, it helps. I don't know, one of you. Maybe it could be in the line. So, okay. So Danielle. So now you heard this. Now, you're hearing she's not feeling worthy. So what comes up first? You're thinking, well, let me just unmute Davey. Sorry, mute Davey to see if that's the difference. I'm not sure. So you would. What comes to you first? Where would you think is in her aura or in her layers of her aura, where would you think is the problem of worthiness?
I would think it would be in the lower emotional body.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Right. So you'd probably look under in the second or third layer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which one do you feel drawn to checking first?
I feel drawn to the second layer.
Okay, so good. So you're going to just, you know, do something and then maybe explain to us what you're doing so that we all learn.
Okay, I'm putting Daisy in front of myself as we did.
Uh-huh. Okay.
In the second, I'm going to ask to tune into her second emotional body.
Okay.
I'm feeling like a sense of fluttering. Not so much getting an image, but definitely it's kind of fluttering feeling.
So if you had that fluttering, you walked around like that, would you say it feels almost like anxiety or is it excitement?
I'm not getting a strong sense that it's either of those, but it feels very unsteady, like it'd be frantic to try to move around in this way.
Okay, so there's unsteady energy. Okay, so what do you feel like needs to be happening? Does it need to be steadied, the emotional field? It's too much movement, eh?
Yeah, too much movement.
Okay, so go stabilize her emotional body. David, I muted David. Did you notice that? Or maybe
a little bit.
Okay, when you check on unworthiness, do you feel like it's really strong still, or did it shift a bit?
It shift a bit.
Yeah. Okay. So now unworthiness is a word, right? It's a feeling, but it's also when somebody says, I feel unworthy, and you can say, well, why are you feeling unworthy? They will come up with a story. So I would check the third layer as well, Danielle. Can you look into that?
Okay.
Okay, you got it. Okay. What did you notice?
I saw like a very bright, kind of like intense red color.
Okay. And great. Now, when we see something like this, then you want to know, well, is it good or bad? Does it need to be there or not? What did you check? What is it?
I got a sense that it was almost too strong.
Yeah. Okay. Is it her color? Is it a color? Is it an energy for somebody else? Is it her own?
It seems like it's somebody else's.
Exactly. Okay. So now ask Davy if she's ready to release it and if you're okay to remove it, to help her remove it. You're really removing it. You're both doing it. But, you know, you want to check because the person has to be ready. So, Davy, are you?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. Go ahead, Danielle.
Okay.
That's a big shift there. Very good. Okay. Divi, you already noticed it, eh?
Yeah, my heads get a lot more clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was great. And Danielle, I know you are doing a great job there. Now, if you look, I can see it. I'm just helping you here. As you know, this is how we learn, is that you removed it, but there's almost like a hollow there because Davy's energy needs to move in there. It's not happening automatically, so you need to prompt her to fill the space now with her own energy, her own essence. You can prompt her soul to do that because it's something that the soul needs to learn and saying, oh, you're allowed to, you know, you're allowed to do this now. Do this. You can talk or just do it internally. Mm-hmm. Good. Are you satisfied, Danielle?
Yeah, that was so beautiful.
It was awesome. I know. It's a great, great. Davy, how do you feel?
I have more joy. I feel happier all
awesome.
Of a sudden.
Awesome. Isn't that beautiful? That was great healing. That was a really great healing. Good job, both of you. Awesome. Wonderful. I want to let you both go. I'm not going to switch you, so you just rest with that.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Danielle. Awesome. Good. That was a great example. So I'm going to have here, who I haven't talked to yet, I have Celeste and Dan here. Okay, both of you are unmuted. And who wants to do the healing? Dan, do you want to healing? Or Celeste, do you want to do the healing?
You're both going to be quiet.
What's that?
Neither of us want to do the healing.
Okay, both want to receive. Okay, I'm going to mute Dan, and I'm going to leave you open, and I'm going to ask if this is Megan, I think. Is that Megan here, 77892? Or is this Kim?
Is it me, Kim?
Yeah, is that Kim? Okay, Kim, good.
Oh, yeah.
Would you be willing to give Celeste a healing? Do you want to do that?
Sure, yeah, that's right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's ask Celeste what is it that you would like have help with.
Okay, so it's emotional, to do with despair and overwhelm. And typically what happens to me is that I check out.
You do what?
I check out.
You check out. Okay. So good. Despair and overwhelm and then basically checking out. Oh, good. That's something good to work with. Okay. So, Kim, it's obvious, very obvious we're dealing with an emotional layer here, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's start and then just explain a little bit what you're doing.
Okay. So I'm seeing Celeste in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And my hands just automatically went up and are moving almost like an infinity symbol in her back area.
Okay.
I'm seeing like very clouded and gray.
Okay. You want to definitely clear that, right?
Yes, that's what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And then my hands are moving upwards towards her neck and towards her head and around and kind of enveloping it. It's very gray, but it's moving into more like a white cloud.
Okay. Celeste, you're probably noticing some changes already here. Do you?
Quite intense in my throat and going on my chest. So there is probably a lot shifting.
Yeah, there's a lot of clearing that's happening in this. The color is shifting very much from gray to more of a white. But spacious. But contained. It contains spaciousness.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're really clearing that emotional field right now, just taking all that junk out, yeah? So really emotions are starting to flow, expand, and becoming brighter and better. Good. So as you're doing this, Kim, you're noticing that it's just happening to her and you are remaining neutral and grounded and there's nothing flowing into you, correct?
Correct.
Good, good. Good. We're shifting another. It's up leveling again. Good.
Now I'm just flowing.
You're flowing.
Flowing like just breath and flowing, and my hand is really far away, like it's just moving it far, far away from her. Yet one of my other arm is just steady, like straight up steady, and then the other one is just keeps moving it. It's almost done.
Yeah, it's very pranic work that you're doing. Good, okay. It's almost done, so yeah, you know that intuitively, okay.
Okay.
Good, good. So now, good, beautiful. Now we, something, some kind of healing curve or cycle completed. Now we want to check now with Celeste what that was like for her. How is she right now? How are you, Celeste?
I'm good, thank you. Sure, so my torso went from, started feeling like it was expanding.
Okay,
and
yeah.
Felt lighter, and yeah, my throat is definitely cleared.
Beautiful. So now we want to check back with the original problem. So you were saying despair, overwhelm, and feeling and checking out. Like, how do you feel in terms of despair and overwhelm? Do you feel that right now?
No.
No, good.
And I feel like if I did feel it, I wouldn't check out. I'd be able to stay with it.
Ah, oh, beautiful. Awesome. Yeah. Good. Awesome. Great healing. Wonderful, Kim. That was great. Awesome. Yeah, wonderful.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. You, thank you. Thank you. Good. Let me find here. So I need a person to work with Dan. Anna, would you want to work with Dan and do healing for him?
I can.
Okay. All right, Dan. I got you unmuted. What can Anna do for you today?
Hi. Yes, I have this reoccurring kind of I don't know if it's confusion, anger in my third eye.
Okay.
And I can just, there's something there. I don't think it's mine, but I don't know. I just want to see if we can clear that out. I also feel it in the heart a little bit, you know, kind of goes back and forth, but I think it's more in there, especially over during those, the clearings, I was feeling that. Yes.
Okay, great. So Anna, so what, good. Tell us what you would do right now. So he's already told you a little bit. If you have clients that are aware, kind of maybe they're checking, you know, it's there, it's here. So you have something to go by. But then you stay open because they can't see the bigger picture. So and then you kind of go from there.
Well, as Dan was talking, I just saw, you know, some kind of, let's say, a little bit dark cloud around his head. It is like around the third eye.
Good. So would you say the celestial body, which is usually a you know, it's an emotional higher body, which we, if I asked, is it the celestial body that's blocked up or needs a bit of clearing, is that what it is?
Feels like that. Yeah. I'm just not used to the word celestial, not yet.
Yeah. What would you call it? Like, if I used your language, what would you call it? What is this? What body is that?
Well, I would just say that is the third eye, you know, like, the energy around the third eye. But it's okay. Okay, let's flow some light and just align to the divine perfection of the emotion, high emotional body. And also align the whole spine, energy flowing down. Down, also into the earth, from the heart into the earth. All alignment.
This is starting to change, Dan.
Yeah, if I can feel, I feel the energy flowing down. It's loosening up in my third eye. Processing. I can feel the energy just still moving here. You know, expanding.
Do you feel it's finished, Anna? Is it like good for him? Is it going to body? Yeah.
It's flowing, but I feel like there's some resistance.
I feel that too. Yeah. And that's the anger part, right? That irritation. So there's something, you know, whenever there's an anger, there's usually an idea how things should be different. So you want to kind of try to find that. So you can do it through checking in the mental bodies, or you can continue to work with your alignment techniques. What you're doing is an alignment healing. You do whatever you want to do. Oh, did I lose you suddenly? She's gone.
I'm here.
There you go. Oh, you both are there. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
I just get a funny picture. Probably I won't tell it to a client, but I just see, you know, this resistance as a little cloud, and I'm kind of, you know, just snipped it.
Okay. Okay. What you can do is you can, and that's good. You can always just say, "Are you ready to?" There's a bit of a resistance there. You might not be conscious of it, or maybe you are. You can check. You can actually bring more awareness for the client, and then you can say, "Are you ready to kind of let that resistance go?" And then you have the cooperation of the person as well. It becomes a bit more, I would say, elegant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then is there some change? Do you feel something?
Do you feel something, Dan?
Yeah. I felt when you talked about the resistance, I felt it in the heart area, upper chest, I think, more so heart chakra, upper chest.
Uh-huh.
And of course, I still feel some in the third eye, but I started feeling the tension, you know, of that resistance.
Uh-huh.
So I'm aware now.
Yeah.
From unconscious to conscious now. So I choose to let this go. I'm ready to let this go.
Okay.
I would love to let this go.
Good. Good. Wonderful. Yeah. No, that's wonderful. And so this is the beginning. You're ready for it. And then there could be underneath, you know, some real pain or something that needs to kind of come up in different layers. There's probably some more layers, you know, that need to be worked on. But that's good for now because you're coming to the end. So that's great. Thanks, Anna. Thanks, Dan. And,
Thank you.
Okay. Awesome. And, let me see here. And where is? Okay, good. And looking at the time here, if I should do another layer with another little healing with everybody, let's take me like Jen, and we got Winona here, the two of you. Okay.
Hi.
Hello, both of you here. Okay, good. Do one more, mm-hmm. and then I think we can finish up. And let's see, who wants to have the healing? Winona or Jen? What, Jen, do you want to practice or receive?
I was thinking receive because with your guidance, I would try practice. But I, like one of the gals said earlier in the call, at the very beginning, I got super drowsy and kind of like faded out in the beginning, the first part of the call. So I, mm-hmm. practice, I feel, you know what I mean? Like
yeah,
I need
yeah.
to replay.
Okay. So Vainola, would you like to do some healing on her?
Yes. Yes, okay. I'd love to.
Okay.
Oh,
all right.
Thank you.
Okay, so basically you want to have that. What is it exactly Vainola can do for you right now, Jen?
Well, and tell me if this doesn't really apply, but I feel like I have recently come up with deep-seated anger. Hatred, which I think I've never actually experienced in my life because I really have never hated anything that I can think of, and even mean people, that kind of thing, I've never truly hated, but with money. And I feel like when we were in the, I think you called it the etheric blueprint, I felt it there. So I don't know if it's mine or passed down or past life or,
yeah,
I don't, you know,
that's a beautiful one. Yeah. I like that. That's good. That's a juicy story. Let's go into that. That's a beautiful. I love one of my favorite layers is the fifth layer because there's so much that goes on there. Winona, do you want to go ahead now?
Yes, absolutely. What I felt immediately while you were talking, Jen, was like my liver just jumped, and
So you're working with mirroring. So you're noticing in your body there's something happening, which you read as this is something that goes on with the client, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm just translating for people who are really new.
Thank you. Yeah. That was the immediate response, was my body response, and it feels like there's like this is a positive thing, is how it's feeling, very positive, that it's moving, it's rushing. There's but it isn't a bad thing. It's a good thing to be able to feel this.
Okay, so in relationship to money, is this so the liver is connected with that anger, right? And
mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then there's, you know, like, I sense there might be some tightness in the upper chest about it, too, of, like, feeling constricted, feeling, like, angry that money isn't there when it needs to be. And I'm just putting my awareness on those physical attributes, but also seeing in the layers it's like bubbling up of emotion, just bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
And allowing light to
so it's starting to change, Jen?
Yeah, this is wild. When she first said liver,
mm-hmm.
I got like super lightheaded. I don't
mm-hmm.
know why. And then when she kept going, right before she said tightness in the chest, I felt this like overwhelm of sadness. Like I experienced great sadness or loss from not being able to have enough money to save something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I started crying, and then she's like, I feel emotion bubbling up, and I was like, yep.
Yeah, yeah, let it keep bubbling through. Yeah, let it keep bubbling through.
Yeah.
It's moving through you. Stay with it. Stay with it.
It feels like, you know, even moving higher into the throat and
yeah.
And instead of holding on, it's like just breathing into that and loosening it and loosening it and loosening it and knowing it's okay that this has to go.
Mm-hmm. So it's in the throat. We're now in the fifth layer. So there's something there, an original thought, and she even mentioned it, like she just said it,
mm-hmm.
is now clearing. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go, heart is starting to open a bit. Mm-hmm.
There. Mm-hmm. What I'm sensing is just this release and smoothness, more smoothness coming in.
Mm-hmm. Jen, do you feel like you're kind of free from this problem now?
I do. I feel a little out of body from it, like
mm-hmm. So this is a layer that is very like I said, it's like a template. It doesn't have much physicality to it. We're in the upper chakras. So but if you have a client like Benona that keeps saying
mm-hmm.
I'm feeling out of like this, we're gonna prompt Jen to drink some water right now if it's there, to feel her sitting properly on the chair, bring back to the body attention. If even that is, you know, sometimes clients do keep repeating, I'm just feeling strange, I'm feeling, you know, then you literally really ground them. You're really just, you know,
okay.
You know. So do you know how to do that?
Well, my intent is, it seems more just like bringing awareness to the body and just bringing them in, right? Like, I don't know
mm-hmm.
how to describe it. Is there something, I would love to learn more.
What I do basically, I just literally, I use it's almost like I have almost like, there's different ways of doing it, but what I usually do is like almost like something comes out of my ajna is very active, my third eye. It's almost like an energy comes out, and then I kind of take that and then just pull it down. It's like it goes into the person, pulls all the energy down into the earth. I anchor them.
Yeah.
So it's like pulling them down and anchoring into the earth. Okay. Do you feel different now, Jen?
Yeah, actually,
your voice changed.
Yeah.
It's like, is this the same person? No.
I felt when I was out of body, the way I was sitting on the couch, my feet weren't touching the ground, which was funny. And then I got my water and took a drink of water and breathed through it, and my feet, I'm sitting completely different. Both feet are on the floor now, and I feel completely 100% in my body.
Awesome. Very good. Very good. Great. Great. Thank you. Thank you both.
Aratima, can I just ask you, with that then, is it when the grounding happens, is it almost like bringing in the healing into the denser body also? Like, is it like a...
Yes.
You felt like it was coming home, you know, like more...
The whole person, like the soul, is coming home, and it's going. When you ground, really, what happens is the energy of a person, which is really the soul, is the life force, you know, is coming more into the body itself and taking charge of its vehicle. And the soul can be distracted, you know, in the illusory dream world and in the stories, which is all shadows. So you basically bring them here. It's almost like a small awakening, you know? And that's why she was so clear. Her voice suddenly was really clear. She's like, here suddenly.
Beautiful. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for that explanation.
You're welcome. Okay,
beautiful.
Great.
Thank you.
All right. So we're at the end right now. So we're going to continue, of course, in whenever our next classes. And I will be uploading everything within the next couple of hours, the notes. So take it easy. It was great. There was some great healings that we did. And I'm just going to speak the Aramaic prayer one note for closing our meeting today. And just bringing beauty to everything in this moment. Abund b'shmeya net kadishmach tete malkutach nechve sebyanach ikanat b'shmai ap. Hablan lakmad sunkan and yaumana. Washbuklan, haubain, vachtahain. Akana dafkana, shwabahan lakai obain. Vela tahlan le nesuna. Ela patsan min bisha. Mitol de lahi malkuta. Vehela vatishbuchtalach achlam almin. Amen. Thank you for today. God bless you all, and may the healings and the teachings find its way in proper timing within you, in your expression, understanding. And thank you, and have a wonderful weekend. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.